What I'm going to be preaching on to you tonight is the responsibility of an American Christian. The responsibility of an American Christian. You and I, brethren, are Christians in America. And, brethren, our situation is, you know, we're not under a lot of persecution of this, that, and the other. And thank God we live in the place that we live in. And a lot of responsibility is laid upon us. But brethren, really, the responsibilities I'm going to look at tonight for an American Christian are really for a Christian in any country. But, you know, brethren, sometimes here in America, we may wonder, well, what do I do? How much do I get involved? What do I do? What's my attitude toward my country? And, well, brother, here's the thing. This is the country you're in, and you need to love it and support it, or, you know, really find another country. I mean, that's just the truth, you know. And, brethren, we know that America's not heaven, but it's the country God has us in, and we thank God for it. And I want to make a few statements beforehand. Brethren, America is unique among the nations. As I mentioned this morning, America is unique among the nations. Other than Israel, she's the only nation founded upon God and His Word. Really. Founded upon an acknowledgement of the true God and His Word. I like what Brother Gibbs said. I mentioned it this morning. God chose Israel, but America, our forefathers, chose God. And they did. Well, I'm not saying that they all were saved men, perhaps, but they acknowledged God. And they acknowledged His Word. And that made a difference, brethren. It made a difference and set us on the right foundation as a nation. De Tocqueville made this statement. You probably heard it before. When he came to America, this Frenchman came, I think in the early 1800s, he went around America and observed. And he made this statement. He said that America was great because America was good. And he said if America ever ceased to be good, she would cease to be great. And he found that the strength of America was not so much in the halls of Washington or in their capital or everything. It was their churches and their people, Christians, all right? And the influence that Christians had, even on non-Christians, all right? And so he saw that. And it's true, brethren. We've had the right foundation. Brethren, where did our goodness though come from? He saw this goodness that he didn't see in his own country or see in other countries. Where did this goodness come from? It came from God and His Word. From God and His Word to the church. Brother, America has had the right foundation. The Bible says, and go there with me, Psalm 11. Psalm 11. Psalm 11. Psalm 11 verse 3 says this. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Brethren, this country's had the right foundation. So many people, brethren, think that our great strength has been in the fact of our multiculturalism. No, brethren, that's not been our strength. A lot of people think that our strength has been in our great industry. That's not been our strength. A lot of people think that our strength has been in, well, we've just got just extra good people here. No, brethren, it came from us being founded on the right foundation of God and His Word. An acknowledgement of the true God and His Word. Brethren, I'm telling you, a lot of the early leaders, they might not have known God personally, but they acknowledged Him. They acknowledged the true God, and they paid homage to the Bible in the decrees and in the Constitution that made up this country. Brethren, I want to say this to you. Strong families make strong churches, which make strong communities, which make strong states, which make a strong nation. And brethren, that's where it gets right back, brethren, for this country to be strong, it gets back to the individual. Really, brethren, I'll tell you something. It gets back to dads being leaders in the home, making strong families, which make strong churches, which make strong communities, which make strong states, which makes a strong nation. That's where it gets back to. Brethren, and I want to say this before I get started in our text. In one way, the internet has been a blessing. Now, I know a lot of ways it's not been. But in one way, the internet has been a big blessing. And you say, how? Say this, because it shows how that you can't be involved in everything. The internet has shown me more than ever how that I can only be involved and take in my local area. So that's what we're talking about. Brethren, by the internet, you can touch what is going on all over the world, and you can have concerns and prayer requests and everything all over the world, brethren, that sometimes it's just too much to take in. So you know what? You know where it gets me back to? Where I'm at. I'm serious. It shows me, it gets me right back to where I'm at. my church, my family, my community, what I can impact for the Lord Jesus Christ here. You see, brethren, on the internet, sometimes you get, don't get me wrong, but you hear so many things from so many corners. And brethren, I'm sorry, you know, I'm not, and you're not the Lord, and I can't have the burden for all those things. I wish I could, but I try, and even though I pray sometimes, it's not the earnest heart, you know what I'm saying? It's just so many things, and you don't know. Don't get me wrong, I'm not against praying for these folks, I'm not against that. I'm just saying, there's so many causes. There's so many things. There's so many, brethren, there's this issue coming up, and we support this, and we need help, and they're all right things. But you can't do it all. It gets me right back to my local area. And see, brethren, I believe that's where I'm going to be accountable for. Locally. See what I'm saying? I believe I'm going to be accountable for. Well, I mean, if God calls someone to another area, then that area becomes their local area then. I'm saying I think you're accountable for your local sphere of influence. Your family, your church, your local community. I believe, brethren, it's helped me to realize more than anything, brethren, how I need to concern. I can, with God's grace and help, I can get a grip on local. If not, everything can get so big that you lose sight of anything and say, you're like, I can't do anything. Locally, you can. You say, Brother Dawson, there's so many problems. How can me make an impact locally? Because if every believer makes an impact locally, it'll impact everywhere. You concern yourself with where you're at, your local area. Your family, your church, your local area. Now, here's the big question. What can you do? As an American Christian, what can you do for your country? Before I say that, though, just to show you, this comes from Wall Builders. They're a pretty good organization. But this is the New England Primer. You probably heard about it, the New England Primer. Come to find, this is what, I'll just read this to you. The New England Primer was introduced in Boston in 1690 by Benjamin Harris and was the first textbook printed in America. For 100 years after its introduction, the New England Primer was the beginning textbook for students. Until 1900, it continued to be a principal text in all types of American schools. Public, private, semi-private, home, dame, parochial, etc. I don't know what a dame, D-A-M-E school is, but anyway. And so this was used. All right, the New England Primer. This is something else, brethren. It's got Scripture all in it. It's got Scripture, it's got stories, it's got questions. Some of the questions in here, it goes like this. Some of the questions are asked. Who was the first man? Who was the first woman? Who was the first murderer? Who was the first martyr? Who was the first translated? Who was the oldest man? Who built the ark? Who was the patientest man? Who was the meekest man? Who led Israel into Canaan? Who was the strongest man? Who killed Goliath? What was the wisest man? Who was in the whale's belly? I mean, brethren, amen. Acquainting these kids with things like that. Some of the questions here. How is the Word made effectual to salvation? What is faith in Jesus Christ? What does every sin deserve? What is required in the 8th commandment? What is required in the 10th commandment? Is any man able perfectly to keep the commandments of God? Man, brethren. They started out with this. Oh, can't you see? So what did the devil try to do? Erode our foundation. Kids were sent, well, this is a foundation. Oh, brethren. It's good stuff. Listen to how they learned their ABCs. There's a little picture, and then the letter A. A, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. B, I mean, think about that. In your letter A, you understand how in Adam we all became sinners. B, heaven defined, the Bible mind. C, Christ crucified, for sinners died. D, the deluge. Now, how many know even what the deluge is today? Noah's flood, right. And how many? The deluge drowned the earth around. E, Elijah hid by ravens fed. F, the judgment made Felix afraid. Acts, Felix, you know, Paul, that. G, as runs the glass, I like to pass. There's a picture of an hourglass. H, my book and heart must never part. Book, meaning the Bible. I, Job feels the, Job feels the rod, yet blesses God. K, proud Korah's troop was swallowed up. L, Lot fled to Zoar, saw a fiery shower on Sodom poor. M, Moses was he who was Israel's host led through the sea. N, Noah did view the old world anew. I tell you what, that'll take care of some gap theory there. Realizing the old world was before Noah's flood, and the new world's after Noah's flood. Young Obadiah, David, Josiah, all were pious. P, Peter denied his Lord and cried. G, Queen Esther sues and saves the Jews. Now, sue. She sued them. See, they don't understand what the word sue means anymore. It means to plead for someone, to go to someone and plead and ask for something. To sue for something means not just say, I want your money. It means to go and ask and to plead. R, young pious Ruth left all for truth. S, young Samuel Deere, the Lord did fear. T, young Timothy learnt sin to fly. U, Vashti for pride, V rather, Vashti for pride was set aside. W, whales in the sea, God's voice obey. X, Xerxes did die, and so must die. Y, while youth do cheer, death may be near. Z, Zacchaeus he did climb the tree, our Lord to see. Wow. Brethren, it's just really a blessing. Goes on. What is the fifth commandment? What is forbidden? What is your corrupt nature? What is the first commandment? What is the duty commandment here? What is the bond of the covenant by which the church is joined together? What is prayer? What is repentance? Repentance is a grace of the Spirit whereby I loathe my sins and myself for them and confess them before the Lord and mourn after Christ for the pardon of them and for grace to serve Him in newness of life. Brethren, they were brought up on that. You see, brethren, the foundations have been attacked. The foundations have been attacked. And folks, look here. You and I need to strive to lay that right foundation for our homes. Because it ain't going to get laid out there again. You forget it. All right, but you can do it in your home. And you can do what you can. Now, a Christian in America, what can you do? I'm going to tell you and I'll give you the verse for it. The first thing you can do is pray. Go to 1 Timothy 2. In fact, brethren, I wish now me and Sarah had this when our kids were just starting out and go over some of this with them. I think they're a blessing. You can get it from Wall Builders. Just go to Wall Builders. I'm sure that you can find them on the net there. And you can get that little thing. I don't think it costs hardly anything. Don't think. And brethren, somebody's homeschooled. That'd be a precious little thing to go over with your kids. Precious. There's good stuff in it. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. I exhort therefore first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, for that is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All right, that's the first thing. Pray. Pray, brethren. Pray for your leaders. Pray for all that are in authority. But I tell you, a good habit for us all to do. Brother, I'm not asking you to admit it to me, because I'm going to tell you, brethren, I'm not consistent with it like I ought to be. I'm nowhere near shape or form. But brethren, how often do we really pray for our president, vice president, governor, lieutenant governor, our sheriff, our mayor, or whatever? How often do we pray for these people? Brother, we need to. Brother, you know what we need to do? Our congressman? We need to, brother, look here. We need to know. We need to, even if you've got to write it down somewhere to remind you. President, vice president, your federal senator, your federal representative, your state senator, your state representative, your sheriff, your governor, your lieutenant governor, those are folks we need to pray for. Pray for their salvation if they're not saved. Number two, pray that God would help them make right decisions, that they would govern correctly, that God would... You say, Brother Doss, why will that do any good? Well, with that attitude, probably not. But if you really believe God and take Him at His word, okay, so I believe one person could make a difference that would pray for their nation like that. Brethren, you know what? We're commanded to. Now, you know what everyone needs to be more faithful about doing? Oh, I say everyone. I need to be more faithful about doing? Praying for our nation's leaders, our state leaders. Make a list and write it down. Brethren, we need to know. I know that, okay. You know, President Bush, Vice President Dick Cheney, Lindsey Graham is a senator. It's going to be up. So who's going to take Ernest Holland's position? Hey, brethren, there's one to pray about. Get somebody good in there to take Ernest Holland's place. I'm glad he's leaving. And brother, that has nothing to do with politics. That has to do with character, okay, from what I've seen. You've got Henry Brown's our representative from this area. Mark Sanford's our governor. Andre Bauer's our lieutenant governor. I know that Bill Meschker's Florette's over there is our state senator. I forgot who representative is. I need to find that out. Which one's our used to be James Law, who it is now. Find out who representative is. Wayne DeWitt, Sheriff of Berkeley County. Hey, brethren, those folks need to be prayed for. that they'll do right things, that they'll make right decisions. Okay? Our Bible tells us to do that so that we can live peaceable lives. Hey, brethren, did you know, brethren, it's a very foolish thing to take an attitude of, hey, sir, let persecution come and be what we need. It may be, but who wants it if we can avoid it? The Bible says, Paul said, hey, did you ever see Paul shy away from persecution? Did you ever see Paul show cowardice? No. That man got beaten stoned, but look what he said. That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. It seems like Paul never saw quiet and peacefulness, but he wanted it. He prayed for it. I don't think Paul enjoyed, you know, getting beat and getting, I mean, he endured it, and he gloried in it for Christ's sake, but brethren, he prayed for a peaceable and quiet life. Brethren, we would rather have a peaceful and quiet life. We'd rather have that. Unless God saw fit for some other reason. But brethren, we ought to pray for our leaders that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Because then that'll help us. But that'll help. Listen, it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come with the knowledge of the truth. So brethren, we need to pray. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our leaders. Our leaders, national, state, and local. God's Word commands us to. Let's do it. So that's the first thing we can do, and really might be most important. We can pray. When you can't do anything else, you can pray. All right, number two, we need to obey. Go to Romans 13. Romans 13. Romans 13. You better pray now. You better pray that your nation will support Israel and stand by her. And do right, really. You better pray. You better pray that. You better pray they would. You better pray that right decisions will be made. Brethren, we're hitting some wild times in this country. You know, I mean, sodomite marriages and the different other things are coming up. Brethren, we need to pray for our nation's leaders that they make right decisions that would honor God and right. And pray for their souls. All right, Romans 13, we need to obey. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Brethren, you need to obey the lawful authority over you. Now listen, is there a time for Christian disobedience? Yes, when that authority tells you to go against the Bible. But until that authority tells you to go against the Bible, you must always obey. Now, when they told Peter and John they couldn't witness in the name of Jesus, they said, we must obey God rather than men. If they tell you you can't witness, if they tell you you can't read your Bible, you've got to obey God rather than men. But as long as lawful authority does not contradict God and His Word, you must obey that authority. You can't flaunt it. You can't think you're above and beyond it. You must obey it. Yeah, but what if they're corrupt? You still obey it. Peter wrote, honor the king. Honor the king. From what we can tell, they believe it's that the king at that time was Nero. You don't get much worse than Nero. Honor the king. As brethren, you do right as long as lawful authority does not tell you to go against God and His Word. Verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You say, Brother Josh, what are you talking about? But if you've got unlawful... But listen, brethren, if you'll do right, what have you got to fear? Brethren, so often, if you'll do right, what have you got to be afraid of? But brother, also, what if they come punish me for doing right? Hey, you don't think God won't give you grace? You don't think He won't get glory and He'll be with you? You better believe He will. Brethren, look here. If you get punished for wrongdoing, the Bible says that's... And you take it patiently, the Bible says in the book of Peter, that's well-pleasing to the Lord. But brethren, the Bible tells you not to suffer as a wrongdoer. If you suffer for well-doing, okay. But don't suffer for wrongdoing. Don't suffer for disobedience. If you have to obey God, and by obeying God, you have to disobey man's laws, okay, you got to obey God first. But brethren, to flaunt man's laws just to do it, that's not a testimony for a Christian. No way, shape, or form. Verse 4. For He is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For He beareth not the sword in vain. For He is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Did you know that God will take men that He does not that do not know God? God will take men that do not know God, that are lost, but God will use them as His servants to execute His purposes. Case in point, Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible. God called Nebuchadnezzar my servant. And Nebuchadnezzar was going around and taking out countries left and right. Now later on, God really broke him down and he acknowledged God. But God used Nebuchadnezzar as His hammer, as it was. All right? And brother, look here. God will sometimes take lost men and use them to accomplish His purposes. Did you know that? Did you know what happened? Did you know one of the kings of Israel? Guess now. Check. Poor old Jeremiah. How would you like to have the task Jeremiah had? God told Jeremiah to tell the king, "Go give yourself up to the enemy." And brother, all the patriots there in Israel were like, "Man, we're going to fight." God said, "You better go give yourself up, because I'm judging you guys, and I'm the one sending Nebuchadnezzar, and you better go give yourself up if you want to live." And you know what? They didn't do it. Remember King Zedekiah? In front of his eyes, they killed his boys. Boom! Then plucked his eyes out. Blinded him. Last thing he saw was his sons dying. Boom! Then they took his eyes out. That's rough. But you know what? It didn't have to be that way. If he had gave himself up to them like God told him to. But see, brother, listen. Here's the thing. Brethren, what you have got to do is listen. If it's lawful authority, you have got to obey it. You have got to obey lawful authority. Now, if lawful authority, if it becomes a government ruling, you can't read your Bible. You better read your Bible. If they say don't witness, you better witness. If they say don't assemble, you better assemble. I mean, brethren, you remember Daniel? They passed a law and they said no petition or prayer for 30 days of anyone except for King Darius. You know what Daniel did? Hey, here's how I picture it in my mind. Daniel, but I can see him posting the decree, and Daniel goes up. Okay. And kneels down and prays like he always has done. You don't see Daniel going, "This is unrighteous. We're not going to..." He didn't make a big stink. He didn't make a big show. He didn't make a big protest. He just obeyed God. Are you with me? He didn't make a big... No, you don't see Daniel taking placards in the street going, "This is unjust. Our rights are being..." Daniel just goes and says, "I got to obey God." And he prays toward Jerusalem like he's always done. And you know what happens? They throw him in that den of lions. God delivers him. And those that tried to set him up, they perish. But brethren, it was a law. It was a decree. With death as a penalty, Daniel obeyed God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. "All right, guys, bow down." No can do. "Hey, guys, listen. You bow down to my image, everything will be all right. But if you don't bow down, you're going to a burning fire furnace. And who's that God that delivered you?" And you know what they said? They said, "O king, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter." They said, "If needs be, our God, whom we serve, can deliver us, and He will deliver us, if that's His will. But if not, even if He don't, we're not going to worship Your image." And he got inflamed, and he had them thrown in there, and you know the story. They came out, and everything was fine. But you know what, brethren? They had to disobey authority and obey God, the highest authority. And there comes a time for that. But brethren, whenever lawful authority doesn't contradict God and His Word, you must obey it. You must obey it. Brethren, you don't obey laws that you like. You obey laws because that's the law. Now, as long as they don't contradict the Word of God. Are there other laws sometimes, brethren, that are passed that are wrong or unjust or just don't seem? Yes. But you better abide by them. You better abide by them. And brethren, as long as they don't tell you to go against the Word of God. You don't obey things just because you like them. How would you like it if your kids did that? "Well, Dad, I like that rule. I think I'll do it." "I don't think I like that one. We'll pass." Don't think so. I don't think that would go. And brethren, you can't do that with lawful authority. You can't do that with lawful authority. But that being said, you live in America. So, brethren, I said, we're looking at the things tonight you could do as a Christian in America. The first thing was pray. God's Word tells you to do that. The second thing is to obey. Let me say this under obedience. Brethren, if there's a law passed that's not good and you could do something about it, do something about it. When time comes up to vote somebody else into office, do that. Brethren, listen, if you lived in a country to where you had no say, then you got to take what you get, serve God and do right, but you don't live there. You can take, and if a man's running for office and he represents what you believe and what the way you want things done, vote for him. Vote for him. And you've done what you can do. And then pray and do. But brethren, if that, brethren, look here. If you're not going to do that, then listen, if you're not going to exercise the right to vote that you have as being an American citizen, never say anything about the political situation. And by the way, that's your business. That's your business. If you don't want to vote, whatever, that's your business, whatever. But don't say nothing about things. Because people will eat your lunch. They'll ask you, did you vote? Well, no, I don't. Then shut up. And if you're smart, you'll stand there and you'll shut up. So you got nothing to say. Alright? Brother, look here. We live in a country, it would be one thing if you lived in a country where you didn't have a vote. Then take what you get and you can't worry about it and look to God. Okay? And obey. Alright? But you don't live in that kind of place. When you've done what you can do, make the vote, pray, do what you can do, and then obey the law. Alright? Brother, if they come out with a law that said, okay, I'm really pushing the envelope right now, okay? But if they come out with a law that said blue shirts are illegal, well, that's pretty ridiculous. That's pretty ridiculous. And there's a guy who comes in and says, I don't believe blue shirts ought to be illegal. Well, brother, I'm going to vote for that guy. As long as he stands pretty right. But brother, if he gets defeated and blue shirts are now illegal, guess what? I guess I need to change my wardrobe. You say, well, Brother Doss, hold on a minute, brother. Hold on. I can live with that. It ain't like they're telling me not to read my Bible. They're not telling me not to witness. Hey, there comes times, friend. There comes times, yes, you must disobey in order to obey God. But you better make the right call and know where to make that call at. That was a pretty simplistic illustration, to be sure. But I think you understand what I'm saying. Some things I hear you're not going to go along with, but you better obey it. But now, brother, it was a law at one time. In a certain country, it was a law that you take all your male children and you drown them. You find that in the book of Exodus. That was law. You drown your kids. Guess what? It's time to disobey. It's time to disobey. In China right now, they'll take no kill your kids, man. If you have too many kids sometimes, guess what? It's time to obey God and disobey government. You don't kill your kid. Brethren, look here. They told Peter and John, don't you witness in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter and John said, uh-oh, no can do. We must obey God rather than men. If they tell you you can't read your Bible, you better read your Bible. If they tell you you can't pray, you better pray. If they tell you you can't assemble, you better assemble, whether you got to do it in secret or hiding or whatever like that. God comes first. But as long as lawful authority does not contradict that book, you better obey lawful authority. Brethren, Christians don't need the reputation as lawbreakers. Unless it's done in righteousness. All right? I understand that. All right, so what can you do for your country? You can pray, you can obey. Number three, brother, you're in for a treat tonight. Let me tell you, you're in for a treat. This don't normally happen with me. You know, brethren, I usually preach verse by verse, and I'm usually straightforward with things, and I don't usually even name a sermon, and I don't do outlines. It's just not my way. If it's other men's way, that's fine. And I never hardly use alliteration, you know, where all your letters go together, and it's, I never do that. But tonight, it kind of fell together. So, you pray, you obey, number three, you display. we're rolling. Listen, the word display means to spread before the view, to show. And what you're to, brethren, and what you're to display is righteousness. Go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. You're to display righteousness. Proverbs 14, verse 13. I mean, verse 34. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Proverbs 14, verse 34. The Bible says this, righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. There you go. You need to display righteousness. Brethren, you need to take, and what you can do for your country is pray, obey its laws, and display righteousness. Show forth the righteous standards of God Almighty. Show this world how someone who knows God is supposed to live and walk and talk and act and dress and be. Your life should display the righteousness of that book. You know what that'll do? To cause your nation to be exalted. Brethren, I don't think anybody in this room is going to be able to get on the steps of the Capitol, Washington, D.C., and have CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, and everybody give you a platform to reach the whole country and tell them they need to get right. I just don't think it's going to happen. So since you can't get a national platform like that, you need to concern yourself locally where you're at and live right for God. And you influence somebody else for God, and they'll influence that. That's how the thing happens, brethren. A lot of times we're like, oh, if I could just get a national platform, it ain't going to happen. Doubtful. Watch, Lord, show me how wrong I am, and when I'll be able to do that. But it ain't, usually ain't going to happen. Get involved where you're at locally. Pray, obey, show forth the righteousness of God. Set the standard of how a Christian ought to walk, talk, handle himself in business, at work, in his affairs, as a neighbor, how to dress and act. Show forth the righteousness of God. Because your Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Take your Bible. Along this same thought line, go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 11. Ephesians 5, verse 11. The Bible says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You see, brethren, it's not enough. It's not enough not to have something to do with wickedness. You need to reprove it. You need to reprove it. It's not enough just to not partake of it. You need to expose it and reprove it. See, brethren, what I'm saying to you is, look here. I'm not telling you that the next time you're in your dentist's office to stand up on a table and scream out against what the program is on there. Don't do that, please. You might not have all your teeth by the time you leave. He may get you back by pulling all the teeth that you've got out. I am telling you that if it comes up and the opportunity presents itself, take a stand. Take a stand. Take a stand. Sometimes, brethren, you'll take a stand and it'll be just what somebody else is needing to hear, and it'll encourage them and it'll help them. Take a stand. I never will forget when I was in the Air Force and I was going to leadership school, NCO leadership school, and they started changing things. They started trying to mess with your mind and get across an agenda. This was about 1987, something like that. They were just starting this thing of forget military stuff and discipline and stuff. Now they're starting an agenda. And so what this had to do with military things and the Air Force is beyond me. But what they did was they got us in leadership school. They set you in there and they said, okay, how many of you think that homosexuality is okay? If you do, stand on this side of the room. If you're against it, stand on that side of the room. If you don't have any opinion, sit right here. You know what most people did. They sat right there. You had some, mostly women, loud mouthed, who were over there for it, and me and one of the guys stood over against it. That's all. Do I think that most of the room felt that way? No, I think the majority of the room was against it. But there ain't no way, man, that's going to stand up, you know, and let themselves, you know. What I'm saying is, brethren, look here. You've got an opportunity when you have the opportunity. But it's not enough not just to partake, brethren, of unrighteousness. Expose it. The Bible tells you to. The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Especially with one another. If there's a brother or sister doing something that is just, brother, it's not right. You need to pull that one aside and show love and say, brother, I love you. Sister, I love you, but that's ungodly. That's just not right. Alright? And you're showing love to do that. Alright? Even the Old Testament told you about that. To not suffer sin on your neighbor, that kind of thing, you know, to love somebody enough to tell them and warn them and show them. Brethren, you need to expose the things that are going on out there when given the opportunity. I mean, if you're around someone at work and they're talking about something that's ungodly and you get a chance, and what do you think? Well, you know what I think? I think it's disgusting, it is sickening, and it's pathetic. And it's against God, and it's against, I mean, whatever they would bring up. You know what I'm saying? Whatever they would bring up. If it's not right, expose it. And tell them. If they get attitudes that you asked. You wanted to know. And I tell you what, if you'll take a good firm stand, you'll be surprised. There'll be some people that, I think what's going to happen a lot of times, somebody will come up to you when nobody's around, hey, thanks, I agree with you. I sure ain't going to say it, but I agree with you. You know. And you never know what, they might say something. It'll encourage them, it'll help them. It might keep somebody back from something. Hey, brethren, you know what this world is getting assaulted with today? know what they're getting assaulted with? Brethren, people that are spending their time in TV and radio and the programming of this world instead of in the Word of God and the things of God, you know what they're getting constantly bombarded with? Sodomy's okay. You can even be married and it's okay. And you can adopt kids. And brother, it's to where they're trying to get the kids think that if you're against it, you're a hate monger. Something's wrong with you. Brother, if you don't stand up and when given the opportunity and stand for right, how are people going to know? Brother, by standing up, you jar people. They're like, whoa, whoa, yeah, I know that's wrong. Yeah, I know that's wrong. What am I doing? It kind of jars them back to their senses. But if you hear something over and over and over and you're bombarded with it and you're like, well, I don't know. And that guy, you know, that guy's got his doctorate degree and he's done studies and I don't know, maybe it is just something you're born with. I don't know. Maybe, you know. Everything just gets in and gets in. But when they can hear a voice and I'm saying, hey, it's sin. God called it sin. God called it abomination. You know what? It jars something. It wakes them up. And they're like, you know, I know that. I know that. I know that's sin. That's right. And it encourages, it helps them. Brethren, I want to tell you something. You can count this, brethren. I don't know about today, but a couple of years ago, brethren, there wasn't as much sodomy as people said there was. There wasn't as much. But the news media got on that bandwagon and made everybody think that it was everywhere left and right. And you know what? It's increased. It's increased because you've got young kids now that are being indoctrinated this way. And brother, come on, brother. When I was a kid, you never heard about nobody like that. And as a teenager or grade school, come on. You never heard of it. Now they got sodomy clubs and stuff like, come on, brother. You hear so much of it. And brother, you hear most of them today. They would think what I'm saying is hate speech. No, brother, I love someone like that, and I want to see him come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and be saved from that lifestyle that is demonic. No, brother, don't know that they're born that way. Ooh, time out. That book right there in the Old Testament says that God commanded sodomites and witches, under the Old Testament law, God commanded them to be stoned. God never had you killed for nothing you couldn't help. In the Bible, if you were a crook-backed or if you had a certain problem with you, you couldn't be a priest or nothing like that. You still could know God and serve Him and love Him and God love you, but there's certain offices you couldn't fulfill. But God never had you punished or killed because of something you couldn't help. For sodomy, God said death. For drunkard who wouldn't repent his ways, death. For an adulterer, death. For which? Death. Why? Because you're not born those ways, you choose them. Brother Doss, but don't you think some people have a leaning? Listen to me. Possibly, man. It ain't because they're born that way, but through different things, they may have a leaning. But listen, they still make their own choice. God judges for choices made, brethren. Not for something you ain't going to... You know, someone's born... God didn't have somebody put to death for something they couldn't help. Choices get made. And brethren, don't you forget that. Don't you forget that. Because if you let it, the devil will use this world to mess with your thinking and get you to think, hey, brethren, everybody wants a way out today. Well, my environment, where I was raised, you know, that's the reason, you know, I'm so abusive and I'm so... Shut up! Those things may foster it, but you make choices. That man that goes out there and pops his wife, man, and hits her, you know why he did it? He wanted to. Okay, well, my dad did. Okay, but so your dad hit your wife? No, your dad hit your mom. He didn't hit your wife. You hit your wife. And you're going to pay the price for it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, okay, you watched your dad. Maybe you didn't have a good dad. That still doesn't excuse you from what you're doing. And get that. Hey, brother, yeah, some things may foster things. Hey, brother, yeah, if you're around a guy and your dad comes up and he beats your mom and he beats your sisters, yeah, your problem, you may be predisposed to that, but you still make your own choice. You still have your will. And, brother, that's the problem today. Nobody's facing responsibility. Nobody's standing still saying, God, I'm the sinner. I'm the one did the wrong. No excuses, no fault. God, it's me. That attitude got me saved. That attitude got me saved. When I stood still and said, God, me. Nobody else, no excuses. Me, God, me. I was able to get saved. I admitted what I was, accepted what Christ did on my behalf. But you ain't going to make up, you ain't going to get it, making excuses. And the devil wants to fill you with them, saying, get you in hell and get you kids. All right, now, so display. Display God's righteousness. Don't just not have anything to do with unfruitful works of darkness. Reprove them. In the right way, in the right opportunity, reprove them. All right, now, let's go on. Pray, obey, display. Look out, I got nothing coming at you. Convey. Convey. Listen, the word convey means to carry, to bear, or to transport. You know what you need to convey? The good news of salvation. The gospel message. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Brethren, you do realize, of course, that this is just about the most messed up, screwed up generation in time. Because nobody's got to face what they are. Man, you can get a pill, you can get a prescription, or you can get... they've got a name for everything you've got, man. Every disorder, emotional, mental, they got a name for it, man. And they'll soothe you and stroke you and never have you face the fact that it's sin and you did it. And because they listen, you know why? Because the devil is behind that stuff, and he does not want someone coming to grip with their sin to get it dealt with under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's just as simple as it is, brother. That's all there is to it. It's a fact. Brother, look here. So much so that the idea of sin and guilt is so downplayed today. Sin and guilt, oh, anything to take that away. But you know something, brethren? You can't get away from it. So you can tell someone all day long, there's no such thing as sin. There's no such thing as sin. That's just a figment of someone's imagination. There's no such thing as sin. That's nearly wrong. That's not really wrong. Everything's relative. You know, and it all depends. That sounds real good. Until you get it home, and it's you and your pillow all alone. You know what? Those things don't cut it then. Brethren, there are a group loads of people out there that are involved in things that are wrong and unrighteous, and they're justifying their mind. Everybody else does it. Man, it's a new age. It's 2000. It's the 2000 times now, man. Everything's different now. But when they get home and get in that pillow and they're quiet, it comes on them, man. Because God's given you a conscience. And you can't, hey man, you can't philosophize that thing away, man. It's there. Alright? And you know what? So you know what a man's got to do then? He's got to get drunk. Or get stoned. Or stay busy. Or stay so active he never thinks. Because when you think, what you've done comes in on you. And the only remedy is the shed blood of Jesus Christ to wash it away, make you clean and righteous in God's sight. The atonement of my... Christ had no sins. He died on my behalf for all mine. He died for my sins. He had none of his own. He took my penalty. Hey, brethren, you know what? It's like this. I've said it before. Everybody in this room, and everybody listening on tape, has done things that nobody knows about but them and God. And you know what? They wished at times they didn't even know about it. There's the thing that you wish you didn't know about, but God knows it. And you know what? That drives you out of your mind. And so that's why a man's got to get drunk, he's got to get stoned, he's got to stay busy, he's got to keep going, doing something, so don't think. Because when he thinks, it comes in on him. What's the remedy? The fact that Jesus Christ took your place and paid the price for those sins, died, was buried, and rose again, and is seated at the Father's right hand. He took your place and my place to make atonement on our behalf, to pay that punishment, take that on himself, so that we could be forgiven and be made right with God. That's the answer. It's the atonement that Christ made on our behalf. So that we could be forgiven and be restored to a right relationship with God. See, you can't have a right relationship with that sin and that guilt. But through Christ's blood, that's able to be washed away and reconciliation is able to take place between man and God. But the devil does not want people knowing that. So he says, keep busy, or he tries to make it a bit laughable. Sin, get out of here. Sin, that doesn't seem to stand that. Guilt? That's just something your dad and your mama put on. You know, they were controlling you, and they put guilt on you. You need to escape that thing. You can't escape it. Mom and dad didn't do it. God put that internally in us. Or the devil tries to say, he's crazy. That little short man in the blue shirt, he's crazy. He's crazy. Find out his credentials. See where he went to school at. Find his credentials. See where he went to school at. See? He's ignoramus. Don't listen. He's crazy. But then, way back there. But what if he is right? And you know, you better check out for yourself and know. Hey, anybody listening on tape? You better find out and know where you're at. You better find out and know for a fact. Hey, brethren, look here. You know what? You mentioned the devil. And you know what? People are like, oh, come on now. You ever thought about this, brethren? Look, I've said it before, and I'm going to repeat it again. Why is it that when it comes to the Bible, that book right there, your King James Bible, that book comes right there, immediately there's an attack in the mind when somebody starts to read that. Immediately thoughts come in. How do you know that? How can you be sure of that? Are you positive? How can you be sure he's telling the truth? How can you be sure there's no error in the Bible? How can you be sure that God's Word is true? How can you be sure that preacher's telling you the truth? But you know what? If I stood up here tonight and I said, okay, hey, I got a textbook for everybody. This is Independence Day. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do a little study tonight on George Washington and on Thomas Jefferson and on the forming of the Constitution. And I passed out books. And when I said, turn the page so-and-so, and we all looked at it, and I started tonight giving you a talk on George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, the Constitution. And you might say, this is boring, I don't want to fool this, I got better things to do. But I guarantee you, an attack would not take place in your mind. You would not be thinking, he's a liar. That's not true. I don't believe that. That wouldn't go on. You might be bored, you might be noncommittal, but you wouldn't go through an attack in your mind going, how can that be true? How do you know that? You know why? Because, brethren, eternity does not rest on what the Constitution says or anything about George Washington or Thomas Jefferson. And the devil could care less really what you think about them. But what you think about that book and the truth of what it says has eternal consequences. And that's why he attacks that book. And that's why you can't pick up that book and read it like you can any other. There's a difference. All right, listen. Convey. Acts 1 verse 8. Jesus said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Where were they to start out at? Jerusalem, right where they were at. You know what you and I are to do, brother? You know what you can do for your country? Spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be it by gospel tract, by word of mouth, through some of the communities around here like we're striving to do, whatever. Brother, in your local area, tell folks about Jesus Christ. That's what you can do for your country. If you love your country, and y'all too, you live here. And if you don't like it, I'm not trying to be a sarcastic or smart ass or nothing, but really, if you didn't like it, you need to go somewhere else. That's the truth, brother. If I didn't want to live here, I sure ain't going to cut it down unless I'm sure I'm going to say, then I need to go somewhere else. Really. But if you love your country, as a Christian, you know what you can do for your country? You pray. You're commanded to do that. Pray for your nation's leaders and local leaders. Know who they are. Know who your president, vice president, senator, representative, state senator, state representative, governor, lieutenant governor, sheriff, mayor. Know who those people are. Pray for them. Obey the laws of the land as long as they don't contradict that book. Obey them. Set the example. Display righteousness. Show how someone who knows God is supposed to live, walk, talk, act in all areas of life and convey the gospel message to this lost and dying world. You do that and you're being then what an American Christian is supposed to be. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity tonight. Thank you, dear God, for the country we live in. Father, I pray that you'll take and will help us to take heart to what we've looked at tonight and help us, Lord, to make application as your Spirit would direct us. Lord, help us, Lord, to be an example of what a Christian in America ought to be. And Father, we thank you and ask these things in the Lord Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen.